Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined in studio by my good friends Barnabas Piper and Ronnie Martin. And boys, we have a lot of important things to cover this week, including something that transpired at the end of last week's program. It took a lot of, I think for me, authenticity, a lot of genuineness.
I think vulnerability is a word you're looking for as well.
Barnabas, it was vulnerability is what it was. That's a great word. And what it involved was me letting you guys and letting our millions of listeners know that I didn't know what a pour over was in a coffee shop context. And I have to tell you guys, the outpouring of support, of hopefulness that I've gotten from people about this issue and through this ordeal has been just unbelievable.
I think our listeners deserve an incredible thank you, because there was no mockery, there was no vitriol.
No, we received there was no judgment.
Yeah, that one guy sent a direct message to us on Twitter and said, I would be thrilled to teach Ted the art of the pour over, and no mockery. So just a genuine offer of assistance. And so I think that says something too. I think our earnestness is rubbing off on people.
And guys, I feel so cared for on this and so leaned into on this. I can't wait personally for Big R's explanation of what a pour over is. I've got a notepad here in my studio. I'm going to be taking notes copiously as he speaks. But before that happens, Pipe, we have a new business partnership that that I'll be the first to say has taken a long, long time to consummate, as it were. But we're going live with a new sponsor this week, and why don't you tell us about who that is?
Yes, we have Missional Wear as our sponsor, and they have done some stuff with us in the past. But this is a bit of an ongoing partnership that we're working on with them. So this is the beginning of something beautiful. I think that was from a movie, but I don't remember which one.
Casablanca.
That's it.
Wow.
Yes.
Big R.
I had Black and White in my mind, but I didn't have Humphrey Bogart in my mind. So
it's all right. That's what I'm here for.
Thanks for bailing me out on that one. So Mission Aware, for longtime listeners, you've seen their stuff come through on our social media feeds and our podcast. They do clothing, they do swag, they do art, they did Happy Rant stickers at one point. They do mugs, they do pint glasses for those who enjoy pints of various beverages. They do all sorts of stuff. And this is not the Lord's Gym t-shirt type of Christian stuff. This is...
Although they could do one of those ironically for you.
Yes, they could definitely.
If you were a hipster.
No, picture like...
Lord's Gym, but J-I-M, right?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, dude.
I am the Lord's Gym.
I just ordered
fantastic.
One.
No, picture like silhouettes of Charles Spurgeon's face and John Calvin's goatee, and then the five solas written in cool fonts and things like that. But if you
go
to
picture allegedly Happy Rant swag.
Yes.
Right?
This has been the rumor for a long time. This is it's probably fair to say it's in negotiations. They've been touch and go. They have stalled out at points. But I'm confident we can work out a deal. I'm confident we can land that. But if you go to missionalwear.com, you can see the apparel they have. So shirts, sweatshirts, things like that. They have wall hangings, and prints. They have, like I said, pint glasses and mugs. You can check out all those things. They have also, if you're a beard guy, you know, so one of those reformed beardy types, they have all sorts of Charles Spurgeon beard gear. And you know, some people dig that. I'm sort of anti beard myself out of necessity and out of insecurity. So, but use the code HAPPYRANT at checkout and they'll give you a podcast listener specific discount. So use the code HAPPYRANT, get a sweet deal from them on your favorite reformed swag. And actually, if you go to CalvinistSwag.com, it also takes you to Mission Aware. That was something that that they worked out for us probably a year ago because they liked the idea so much. So missionalwear.com or calvinistswag.com. Go get stuff. Use the code HAPPYRANT. Our second sponsor is, again, I forgot the name of the publisher. Oh, it's Waterbrook Multnomah. I probably shouldn't do that since they paid us money. The book is Chase the Lion by Mark Batterson. You've heard this on here before. He is the best-selling author of In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. This is sort of the follow-up book. It is a book about having God-sized dreams. So whether that's in ministry or life or pursuing your calling, don't pursue a thing that doesn't take God to get you there. If you don't need God to do it, it's too small of a dream. Batterson exemplifies this in the starting of his church there in Washington, D.C. You can get that book now. It was available as of a couple weeks ago. So the book is Chase the Lion by Mark Batterson from Waterbrook Multnomah. Go pick that up. And big thanks to both of those sponsors, as well as our friends at Resonate Recordings, who always do all of our editing and mastering on this thing. So they take our Steve Urkel sounding voices and make us sound amazing.
Speak for yourself.
Dude, you know what? I just Google imaged Batterson, and he doesn't look like what I thought he would look like.
What did you think he would look like, Big T?
That's what I was wondering.
More prosperity E. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
Like slicker, like more of a salesman.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He looks sort of run of the mill suburban-y.
He looks incredibly run of the mill, this guy.
But
wow,
I mean, I think coming from
I don't mean
Ted,
that in a bad way.
You're saying that's a compliment. Right? Yeah.
That's a compliment from me.
Yeah, you're saying it doesn't look like he makes any money. That's what you're trying to say. There's no money there.
He doesn't look like homeless. He looks like right in the middle. You know what I mean?
And he also doesn't look like he's trying exceptionally hard to be cool, which is always a red flag when it comes to pastors in my mind.
This is a shocker, man. It's so rare, Pipe, that they don't either look like they have a gold-plated jet or that they're trying super hard to be cool, you know?
Yeah,
this guy fits neither description.
He looks, yeah, like think middle-class subdivision and
which is maybe the nicest thing I can say about him, because I don't know a dang thing about this guy, to be honest.
But we love his book for the time being.
But we love his book for now. And you know what else I don't know a thing about, Pipe, is pour-overs and the sort of nuanced world of hipster coffee. So I'm gonna ask our resident hipster, Ronald J. Martin.
Can I ask a quick question just categorically first? This was a listener post question, and it's precisely pertaining to hipster coffee. So we have made the statement on here, I think this was a Ronnie statement, that hipsters ruin everything. And we have given example after example of this. The question was, so did hipsters ruin coffee? And it caught me off guard because I think that might be the one thing they improved.
Yes.
Mm. So that is just sort of my contribution to the introducing of pour overs. I think hipsters may have improved coffee.
They may have improved the flavor, but they've ruined it by making it complicated. You know what I mean? Yes. It's now stressful in a way that it never was.
Well, it's time consuming now because, you know, you can't just go put like the cup under the little like, you know, you push the little like lever in and it just comes like pouring out like it used to. Right.
No,
yeah.
No percolators anymore.
I think it's just, yeah, well, we do both. We do both at the church. We have a percolator for people that need it now. And then we have what we call the pour over, wait for it, boys, the pour over station for people that want an actual real artisan. Beautifully delicious cup of coffee.
And is there an actual artisan at the station? You guys have an artisan on retainer.
We have two guys. They're part of the pour over station team, and they work the station every week. And they wear wait for it. They wear leather bibs.
What are they like? Blacksmiths?
Are you kidding me?
I'm kidding. They're not leather. We don't have that kind of money, but they do look like kind of like less, you know, lower paid blacksmiths. They do wear like aprons. Yes.
Yeah. The coffee shop is called the Forge and they are called the Blacksmith's Apprentices.
The Forge.
It is. But we just call it the station because, you know, we got to call it something. So that's what it is.
Would you do our listeners a favor? And by that, I mean me.
You.
And post with in the show notes. A picture of these two gentlemen, these two fine gentlemen.
Absolutely.
Who are handling the pour overs week after week at Substance A Town.
I'll send B Pipe a photo and we can pop it up there on the rant. And, you know, look, T, I just want everybody to know, I want our listeners to know that when you When you hear Ted Kluck, when you hear Big T, when you hear him come out with a statement as radical as I don't know what pour over is, you know what you're hearing right at that point? You're hearing the guy behind the guy behind the guy. And that's what I love, Big T. That's what I love about you. There's a vulnerability there. There's a there's a desire to want to humble yourself and say, hey, you know, I've written 200 books, but I still don't have all the answers.
Ronald, listen to me. Teach me. Okay. I want to sit at your hipster boots right now and have you walk me through the pour over.
I'm going to walk you through it, but here's the thing. I'm a casual observer. Like I don't work the station. So
you're not claiming to be an expert in this.
No. So a pour over is just this. It's you get this. They're like these porcelain pour over cups. You put them in these little stands. You put the coffee, which you have to measure out just perfectly. So we have like these little digital like scales that you measure the coffee with. You put it in the cup. You heat up the water in a hipster little like stainless steel kettle, of course.
Of course.
And then you slowly pour the water into the little pour over cup, into the porcelain pour over cup. And then underneath it, you put a cup and it drips out very slowly into the cup. And what you get is this fantastically super fresh cup of Java.
Can I say this?
You can say whatever you want. It's your show.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my freaking life, man.
It's exactly what a coffee maker does, just way slower.
Yeah, like
it's exactly what a coffee maker.
It's an analog coffee maker. It's what cowboys
used to have to do by a campfire because they couldn't bring a coffee
maker. Dude, it's old school. It's like, do you want the kind of coffee that like Adam and Eve were drinking? You go pour over, man. That's what we're talking about right now. And because we're Substance Church, everything's analog, man. We don't have an Adam and Eve time frame
is the problem.
But yeah, you do. You do at our church though. You know why? Okay. Because we don't have screens. We use bulletins. We print our lyrics. We do pour over. I mean, so like you have to do everything analog at our church, and if you don't want to wait, then you need to go to mega church up the street to like get everything instantaneously, but you're lacking that beautiful rich quality. You're feeling me, Big T?
Baby, I'm just, my head is spinning right now because I had an inkling that the pour over would be a ridiculous and complicated process, but I had no idea what it would actually entail.
But it's not really complicated. It's just time consuming. It just takes
You also have to know how to measure things in grams, which is something that only meth dealers and coffee baristas
and
know how to do.
I mean, look, the bottom line is this: we send our guys out, you know, 10 minutes before the service is over, they got at least like 9 or 10 cups just sitting there waiting for when people get into the coffee house. I mean,
what's really cool? If you had like 3 coffee makers, you could have like 36 cups waiting for everybody. And it's the same process, except it's just Mr. Coffee instead of Mr. Skinny Jeans.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem with that. It doesn't taste as good. And number one, if you're going to say coffee house like we do, and you're going to spell it like we do, H-A-U-S, you better.
Oh, of course, H-A-U-S.
You better darn have.
Wait. If it's H-A-U-S, don't you have to serve like sausages and beer?
Baby, yeah, listen, why did you go H-A-U-S? Why did you get all craft work about it?
Dude, I'm just kidding. We actually don't do that, but I thought you guys would get a kick out of that. So.
I did.
Are you kidding? If we spelled it H-A-U-S, I mean, I literally would be fearing for my life at night that somebody would come in, namely you guys, one night and attack me and like harm me.
I would just dump Folgers everywhere.
Dude, we'd come in with Sanka and Folgers. And Mr. Coffee's.
And Instant Coffee, Nescafe, everywhere.
Guys, here's how I have to finish this up, okay? This is how I have to finish it up. And I don't know if you guys are going to believe me, but I'm just being honest. I could care less about any coffee. Like, I literally don't care. Every morning at my house, I have Folgers. There's the brutal truth.
Wow. There it is.
We're probably losing listeners right now as I just said this.
The irony in this is that while I love making fun of hipsters, I will not drink crap coffee. Like, Folgers, I won't.
Yeah, but see, here's the problem with that.
That sounds horrific to me.
I put so much sugar and cream in my coffee, it can be anything. It doesn't matter.
It's just a vehicle to dissolve the sugar.
Well, that's what I'm saying. My old man, I mean, he didn't drink coffee in the morning. He drank milkshakes, and that's how he taught me how to do it. So that's what I do. It doesn't matter if it's Folgers, Starbucks, Dunkin'. It literally doesn't matter, right? So that's what I do.
You guys, you know what's happened here this afternoon? We've all shared we've all been a little bit vulnerable, haven't we?
It's the guy behind the guy behind the guy.
It's the guy behind the guy behind the guy. Well, Big R, thank you for just leading me in this. You know, I feel really honored to have walked through this with you.
And, boys, one of these days, I'm going to invite both of you out to Substance for a Sunday, and you're going to be able to live through the magic.
I want my photo taken.
Thrilled.
I want to put on one of the leather bibs and for a photo op. Can I do that?
Oh, well, you can do that because obviously we have a photo booth right next to the station.
Absolutely.
That people are
an ironic hipster photos. Photo.
Well, no, the photographer like puts the hood over his head and climbs underneath there, and then he squeezes the thing and the bulb explodes.
Yeah, the bulb explodes.
Very 1920s.
And glass showers down.
Yes.
It's analog photos. We don't send any of them digitally. We actually like have a guy go into a dark room and process, and then we send them via Western Union to people. That's how we deliver them.
Yeah. Actually, you have a guy on one of those gigantic bikes where the wheel in the front is super big and the wheel in the back is tiny.
Substance Church just turned into Boardwalk Empire.
I mean, we only have three of those, man. We could only manufacture three of those. So we have that, and we have our horse and carriage that we kind of are in with the Amish with, and we do a little Western Union. We also have a telegram station at Substance, too, for people that like to communicate in less house, shall we say, modern means.
Do you do like a horse and carriage thing, kind of like churches back in the day would do like bus ministries where they drive around and pick kids up? Do you do that with like all the Amish kids? You go around with
they
pile in on the hay and you take them to church?
We start at 2 a.m. Yeah, we start making the rounds. We get everybody
pick
there.
Pick them up on Saturday night. It's just an adventure every week.
Absolutely. That's what we do. That's it.
It's genius.
So, Pipe, not to speed us through this conversation, but...
I was trying to avoid what came next.
Something difficult happened to you this week, too. And I need to set this up for our listeners who don't like sports, because this isn't about sports. This isn't primarily about sports.
No, Should I step out for a couple hours?
This
is also about vulnerability and life on life.
Big R, I need you here, okay? Because we're coming alongside our friend in this.
Big T, can I go grab a pour over, or do I have time to? Or
why
do
don't you take,
stick around?
Why don't you take 45 minutes and go make your little hipster pour over? With the porcelain and the stainless steel thing, and then meet me back
here.
The Bunsen burner and the Grams, and we'll lean into this thing together when you
all right.
Get
I'll
back.
Bring I'll bring but something nice to wear.
You bring something nice to wear. All right. So here's what happened. So this week, Piper's favorite team, the Minnesota Vikings, experienced an injury to their starting quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater. That was not only season ending, but was probably like two seasons ending. So he had a catastrophic knee injury in a practice, was hauled off. It was so bad that the coach stopped practice, which is kind of unprecedented in the football world. And shortly thereafter, Pipe's team, the Minnesota Vikings, traded a first round draft pick and a fourth round draft pick in next year's draft for arguably the worst starting quarterback in all of pro football last year, a guy named Sam Bradford, who was with Philadelphia. So now Bradford is coming in. He's wearing purple. He will be starting for the Minnesota Vikings in a scant few days. And Piper, you were just expressing your conflictedness vis-a-vis this transaction. You were doing so on social media. And I want you to read the tweet that you put out there, and then we'll talk about what happened in the aftermath.
I don't even remember
this.
The tweet that I put out there.
It was funny.
I literally am trying to block this from my mind and pretend like it didn't actually happen. Do you have the tweet pulled up? I don't.
I might. Let me scroll through the archives. I do. I have it right here.
Okay. Well, you can read it on my behalf so that I don't have to relive these moments.
So this is Barnabas Piper tweeting. He says this: I've spent the last day talking myself into rooting for Sam Bradford. So far, the results have been excitement for the Timberwolves season, which the Timberwolves are, of course, Minnesota's NBA franchise. So Piper is essentially saying, I'm writing off the NFL season. To which someone responded, at Barnabas Piper, he's a brother in Christ. Does that help? The implication being, you have to root for this crappy quarterback just because he's a brother in Christ.
The thing that I did not tweet back, but did send to Ted was that would make a difference if I was rooting for him as my small group leader.
Absolutely, it would. And let me be clear, man. All respect in the world to Sam Bradford. he has gotten way farther in football than any of the three of us had. He's made infinitely more money than we ever will on this podcast. Like he's done great, but all you were saying is you don't want him quarterbacking your favorite team.
Yeah, I don't see any problem drawing a line between rooting for the best quarterback and somebody being a believer. Like
yeah,
somebody's
cares?
Religious beliefs have no bearing on their ability to read cover three and throw a deep out route.
Absolutely.
So I just want somebody who can hit Laquon Treadwell in the end zone for a touchdown and not throw a crappy out route that gets picked and goes the other way like Sam Bradford is adept at doing. But, oh, goodness sakes, as a Vikings fan, so the Cleveland Cavaliers won the NBA title, which was Cleveland's first title, I think, ever, or like since 1940 or something. It's been forever and a half.
It's been a long time.
And I think with that happening, they passed the mantle of God hates us right up to Minneapolis, because the Vikings and the Twins and the Timberwolves and the Wild are cursed. There no good things come out of Minnesota sports wise, which really means I probably am putting misplaced hope on the Timberwolves season as well. But it's so Bridgewater's injury, like I wasn't even like angry when that happened. I would just sort of shrugged and was like, well, that's the most Vikings thing ever. You know, it's we have great hopes for this season and the quarterback blows out his knee. Of course he does.
It's in a non-contact situation.
Something like he planted his foot to throw or to cut and his knee just fell apart. But then they take this thing, so we have a ruined season, and they're like, well, let's double down on ruining the season by throwing away our future to ruin our present even more.
Let's ruin two seasons.
Yeah. And I, you know, I've seen a lot of people really try to talk themselves into Bradford as like an adequate NFL quarterback. And I could go nerdy NFL analysis since Ronnie's off getting his pour over. but I won't. Needless to say,
thank you.
Oh, you're back. How's the coffee? He's had a difficult NFL career because he's been under a different coach almost every year. But he's never shined. Like, he's never even been remotely good.
He's never been in the top half.
Been average when he's been best, and they just gave up. They gave up the kind of price you give up, like, to trade for a top-tier quarterback at the end of his career. Kind of thing. And I understand that they think that they have a shot at the Super Bowl this year, but not with Sam Bradford.
Now, so what do we do with these people? And Big R, you can speak to this too.
Sure.
Who say, just because he's a brother in Christ, you have to root for him, or you have to acknowledge that he's a good quarterback or whatever. Like, I feel like there are people forever doing this.
I think that does make a massive difference if I was buddies with him.
Yeah.
Like, it makes a difference when you have a relational connection, because yes, then there's an element to the friendship that is something much more profound and significant than if they're not a follower of Christ. But I don't have any relationship with Sam Bradford or any other athlete. All I want them to do is be good at their job. And I don't care what they worship or who they worship when they're throwing a football.
Dude, I'm with you, Pipe, but I feel like this is difficult for a lot of Christian sports fans.
This is going to offend somebody, because when you say I don't care what people worship, their response is going to be, but shouldn't you want everybody to love Jesus?
Dude, and yes, for the record, we want everybody to love Jesus, but we also are
but
like
I really
grown-ups.
Want my quarterback to throw the freaking ball well.
Well, yeah, and we acknowledge that like 90% of the guys on that field don't love Jesus. So do we then not watch or only root for the 10% who do?
Right.
This is the dilemma.
And it's not just sports. I mean, the music, actors, whatever. Like, I would love if, I would love if, I don't know, every musician loved Jesus, but I really want the guitar player to be a really good guitar player. I really want the singer to hit the notes. I really want the songwriter to be artful. Like,
right.
Skills that can be separated in some capacity from what they worship. And it's always bugged me when athletes rise in stardom simply because of their faith, Tim Tebow being the most egregious example, because once he got out of college, he wasn't a good athlete anymore. Right. He was a subpar professional football player who people still just loved because he's an outspoken believer, which is good, but he still can't throw a football.
Hmm. Big R, what do you have to say about this, baby?
Yeah. You know,
are we boring you here on the program? I feel like in the last 2 weeks, we've had trouble keeping you engaged through the whole, like,
I've just been
45 minutes.
I've just been working on my Christmas novel while you guys were talking
about this. Is it because you're big timing us and starting a new podcast? And so, like, we're...
You know what? Let's talk about this.
We're no longer your first priority.
No, I don't want you to answer the question.
Can I answer the question? I don't get to answer the question anymore?
Don't answer the question.
I mean, I don't have rights now to answer. You asked me a question. No, I can't answer the question.
You're boredom forfeited rights. I have a new question. My new question is... And this wasn't clear, boys, in our text, because it was all very ha-ha.
I don't know why you're angry at me right now. I don't know where this is coming from.
Baby, I'm not angry with you. I just want
to... Listen to your voice, man. It's all peaked. It's all angry. Baby, I mean, what's...
Baby, listen to me. I just want to know, are you doing a podcast with Trogues?
Well, I mean, that's like asking Piper if he's, like, did a podcast with Dave Harvey. Did you do a podcast with Dave Harvey? Yeah. Did I do a podcast with Trogues? Yeah.
Dude, sure. Listen to me. Here's why I asked.
So it's Trogues' podcast and you were a guest on it?
You know, sure.
Or are you co-hosting?
Here's why I asked. It's his program.
Trogues has literally tried to do a creative project with every friend that I have. Like the guy I rode to school with in high school has a podcast with friggin' Trogues, right? So he's
Kevin
just
DeYoung? Kevin DeYoung he's
roaming to and fro across the earth.
Katie Wise doing a podcast with Trogues.
He has wandered to and far.
Yeah,
doing creative projects.
Doing creative projects with all my friends. So, if you're at liberty to speak on this, Big R.
I mean, look, there's nothing to hide at all. You know,
you're
number
being
one,
awfully coy for not having anything to hide.
Total transparency on this program.
Total transparency. I'm doing a couple of eps with Trogues' new podcast. That's what I'm doing.
What is the format of the podcast or the subject matter, if you don't mind me asking?
It originally was going to be we were going to break down like pop songs or worship songs or like real classic songs that everybody's heard of. Yeah.
Okay.
And then we kind of thought that was it was a little too vague.
Okay.
And Trogues had an idea. He was asking me my opinion on some real like some headline stuff. We were just shooting the breeze one day, and I said why don't you just make it like that? Like you read a news headline, and then we just sort of riff on a news headline, you know? And okay. And then we could try that. And he's all okay, yeah, let's try that. So I said okay, just let me know, and that was it.
All right. So when can people expect to be able to listen?
I think one of them's up. It's called Deconstructed. Yeah.
Wow.
It's Trogues. Right. It's Trogues' gig, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's always Trogues. Are you a permanent fixture or are you just, you know, since you were there at the start, you're just kind of along for the first leg of the journey?
Boys, you got to understand something about Big R. I don't claim permanence with anything but Jesus Christ in my marriage, okay? So that's what permanence is.
And your affinity
for
Christian
there.
Athletes.
Exactly, which again, I'd love to answer that question, but no, keep going, Big T. We'll keep.
Baby, you don't want to answer. Listen to me.
Do you want to keep promoting Trogues as a podcast here? Or do we want to get back to our podcast?
Baby, I'm not promoting anything. Listen to me. You know, and I know that you don't want to answer that question because you don't care. Am I right?
Well, I was going to answer it with a question. Can I do that?
Dude,
I
mean, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I even talk on my podcast anymore? Like,
maybe it's your
restrictions
podcast
now.
As much as it's mine.
You know, I just don't.
You
even
know, You're doing a podcast. How do I know you're not thinking about Trogues' podcast while you're on this podcast? You know what I mean?
I don't know. How do I know that Piper's not thinking about like Lifeway right now? I don't know.
I'm actually at Lifeway right now. I'm sitting in a conference room at Lifeway right now.
Oh, dude,
man, it's getting ugly.
This is my creative environment. So ask your question, Ronnie.
Guys, I just want to. Why? This is all I want to know. Honestly, why does it matter who anybody roots for? Like, how does that change anything who you root for or don't root for? Who cares?
Change anything in terms of...
Everything you were talking about. Like, why does anybody care who anybody roots or doesn't root for? It doesn't change anything. Like, whether you root for Sam or whatever his name is or not, it doesn't change anything about him. Like, why does it matter? Why would anybody care who you do or do not root for in terms of a sports team? That's right, I said sports team. But, like, why? Like, who cares? Why does it matter who anybody roots for? Doesn't change anything.
Well, let me turn that question back towards you and the one thing I know you are a fan of in the competition world, and that is motocross, correct?
Okay. Yeah.
So do you have particular riders who you have an affinity for?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I'm not saying you don't have players or riders that you don't like. I'm just saying, like, at the end of the day, it doesn't change what they do. Like, it doesn't have any effect on them as players or riders. Like, it doesn't matter who you root for. Why would anybody? I'm sticking up for you right now, Pipe. I'm saying, why does anybody care who you root for? Because rooting for anybody doesn't really change their game, the game. It changes nothing.
See, and to me, it's less about who and more about why. Like, the person involved, like, people have affinities for players, so I'm like, that guy's not any good, but that's fine. You like him. You know, there's most teams that people root for are not teams that I root for. And
you get what I'm saying, though? Like, yes. Breaking down the concept of rooting, it's literally the most worthless thing of all time. Like, it doesn't matter who you like. Because you like a guy going to bed at night more than another guy, it's not like he's going to play a better game
tomorrow.
That
may have been a strange way to phrase that.
But I know, yes. But it was funny. Yeah.
It was a little bit.
Well, dude, but this same thing could be said about music, too. I mean, just because I like Kanye West and you think he's an idiot, like, it has absolutely no bearing on anything. But these are the things that people argue about.
Well, I mean, it's if you want to expand this out, it's also true of food. You know, you like sushi and I don't. I mean,
I'm not saying it's not true. I'm making the argument of why somebody would get mad at somebody for not rooting for somebody when it has no effect.
To be fair, the person on Twitter who responded to me was not angry at all. And, you know, it was much more sort of – It was much happier than all that because I responded and was basically like, I just want a good quarterback and you know, and she was very gracious about it. It was not being jerk.
She understood.
So
guys,
the question of why it matters though, I don't think it matters who people root for. I do think there's an element of like it matters if you can give a reason why. Like not because it has to be completely rational, because rooting is kind of inherently irrational. It's much more, I like these things. But like there's a sense of, whether it's loyalty or just something where the reason for it has to kind of bear out a little bit, I think. Now,
it's just entertainment.
I'm sure I'm completely inconsistent in that because I probably like things for completely stupid reasons. But that's going to be my somewhat half-baked response to your
I just don't think it matters why you like it or not
our conversation.
No, not at all. I just think there's a lot of negativity on the program today, guys. I'm not going to lie. I think it's taken a really dark turn. I think we're all in a really dark place.
Teddy Bridgewater blows his knees out and you're a Vikings fan. Negativity, I mean, it's sort of a dark purple cloud over my head. It's a dark place.
Yeah, I don't have any understanding of that, but I appreciate that, yes.
We needed to have this conversation, though. It was the elephant in the room, this thing that you're doing with Trogues, and I know I'm still on that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why it is, but that's fine, Big T. I mean, do I need to come out to where you are so we can have a little sit down over some pour over and,
dude,
and discuss
pour over? We just need to lean into this thing together because it's not going to go away, Big R.
I mean, here's the thing. I kind of think it is. That's the point I was trying to make.
Because it's a Trogues project, it will certainly go away after four or five episodes. But I mean, nevertheless, you know.
I mean, we can just be real honest about all this stuff, right? I mean,
Boys, we've only got a couple minutes remaining. But speaking of Trogues, I think he's a perfect segue into this last topic because there is a thing now, there is a brand, there is a way of referring to oneself as a thought leader, a quote unquote thought leader. So someone will sort of package themselves as a thought leader in a certain field. My question to you is, what does this mean? And why would anybody do it? Is this just another word for consultant? What is this thing, Pipe? You're kind of the resident business guy on the program.
You're the thought leader.
You're the thought leader on thought leaders.
So I posed this topic because it was one that I run across with some regularity. And when I posed, you know, I shot it to you guys via text. Ronnie's response was, "Suss that out. What's a thought leader?" And my response was exactly. That's the question. It sort of falls in line with the self-proclaimed expert or guru, you know, some marketing guru, social media expert, platform builder. They all kind of fall into the same space and in general, but this has a little bit more sort of gravitas to it, I guess. Because you say thought leader, that sounds better than guru, you know, or you know, social media ninja, as some people have called themselves. But I don't really know what it is. I think it's somebody who has accomplished next to nothing, but wants to be respected for their opinions.
Is it somebody that, like, would this be the equiv of, like, a dude getting the title of, like, creative director or something like that?
Or I think it's sort of the equivalent to calling yourself a creative. So you label yourself like, I'm a creative. Like, what? Are you just, you're unemployed? Like, what does that mean?
Dude, people who call themselves a creative are almost never actually creative.
Yeah, they're usually pretty derivative.
Yeah.
And, or storyteller. You know, people are like, I'm a storyteller. Mm. What does that mean? Like, you talk to your kids at night?
Is it just one of those things like you know when people tell you what they do for a living, you get into a convo with somebody and they never like you never really get to what they like you're not really sure what they do. And then you talk to their closest friends or like their wife and they like can't even tell you what the guy does. Is it one of those kind of positions where if you were to see them in action, you probably wouldn't see a lot of action?
I think when you come to the phrase thought leader, the people who are actually thought leaders will never call themselves that. They simply create and share good content or ideas. So they are authors, they are speakers, they are pastors, they're business leaders. They're actually doing something substantial. People who call themselves thought leaders are people who want to be known for being known as opposed to doing stuff.
But you never really see the fruit of their labor. You never see a product or a project completed.
Yeah, it's mostly pithy one-liners. They often will go into consulting because they don't actually have to do the work. They just have to tell other people what they observe about their work.
Can we find somebody like famous enough to where all of us would have heard of him? Who is it?
Who's a thought leader?
Yeah.
Dude, I got one for you.
Go for it.
Yeah, throw it out there, Big T.
I don't know. I don't know if this is one. I want to get your feedback on it. What about John Acuff? Is that a thought leader?
Interesting. Very
Mr.
Interesting.
Follow your dreams and sort of be funny but not funny and you know, take back the work week. I don't know. This kind of guy.
I don't really know that cat. Do you know him, Pipe?
Yeah, a little bit. And I would say he's borderline because I would say like he bleeds into that a little bit when he gets into like the business consulting because like he doesn't really run a business. But he has also authored –
yeah, he's done
four or five books and, you know, had a really successful blog for a long time. And
yeah, he's
and
worked.
Things, you know, and he has been an employee for other companies and things like that. So he's actually like done work.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
The thought leader thing is sort of the – I'm trying to think if there are people who
– well, I got one. What about Brian McLaren?
I would say at this point he's – yeah.
At this stage of the game, he's a thought leader.
Because he's distanced himself from all the things that he did, you know, in terms of pastoring and whatever else. Like he's just sort of an idea guy, but it's not rooted anywhere. They just sort of flow out of his
kimono.
Exactly. Yeah. They waft from his kimono and just across our senses.
So these guys are like self-proclaimed, like they would call themselves like, I'm just an ideas guy. Is it like that?
Yeah. And I think you see it a lot in the marketing and the business
sphere. Right.
Like it's hard to be a theological thought leader is usually somebody who's a professor or a pastor or something. Like they're doing actual
work.
They're actually working with people. They're teaching somebody. They're producing goods. But in marketing and in business, you can be really successful without doing anything. It's amazing.
Dude, I want that gig.
Yeah.
How do you get that job?
Yeah.
Here's the deal. You just have to proclaim loudly enough and cut enough corners that you can get a bunch of followers on Twitter, write some pithy things on a blog, and then get paid by the occasional business to go in and tell them what they should change.
You know what? I feel like that's exactly what we're doing with this program, minus telling the businesses part.
Maybe we should start telling businesses what to do. We'd be like – yeah, we'd be like the happy thought leaders.
We could come in. We could do a little corporate, you know what I mean? A little corporate gig and there'd be lunch.
The thought leaders rant.
Yeah, exactly. I like this, guys. Let's not dismiss this.
Yeah, let's not dismiss it so offhand. Right.
I think we have something here. I think we really
well.
Do.
Then I think for the next podcast, maybe we need to think about a name change. We need to think about sort of the direction of our topics. What do you think?
Absolutely,
Big T. Yeah,
absolutely. I think this too. If you are a business owner, and you would like us to come into your place of business and do a little seminar, a little creative vision casting, we are available. I'm not going to talk money right now. That would
the fee is going to be high.
It wouldn't be polite, big R, to go into such crass things on the air.
Of course.
But
it's going to be high.
Yeah. It's going to be very high. Very, very high.
Yeah, I mean, the goal is to price in such a way, it's like the scare away price.
Yeah.
But the really serious businesses who really respect your thought leadership, they'll
pay
the check.
For it.
They will.
Yeah, if you're not a big corporate business, we want nothing to do with you. Make no mistake.
I would pay to have us come out. You know, absolutely. I don't have to because I'm here for free. I'm here to be criticized for free today. But I would. You know?
Maybe I don't want you to feel that I came at you in any way.
Wow, you do passive aggressive really well, Ronnie.
Actually, yep. I don't. I'm the least passive aggressive person I know. That's
boys. I need to sign off here because I gotta go. Be a thought leader on the football field, but I want to make sure I'm okay with Big R right now. I feel like I came at him.
Hug it out, boys.
A little bit hard. I was a little bit threatened about Trogues doing a podcast with every single person that I know, including Johnny Heft, who I rode to high school with in 1993. So, but that's my thing. All right, that's my thing, man. That I got to deal with.
You got other stuff going on right now, but let's suss this out on the next app, and let's make up on the next app. How about that?
You know what? We're better friends for it.
We are. We'll be better friends for it.
Boys, we have done what we always do on this program. We've wandered to and fro. Until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
If you're hearing this right now, you're probably like, who the heck is this? And why are they playing during my favorite podcast? And I get it. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I do want to introduce myself. My name is Trevor Tyson, and I'm the host of Trevor Talks, where we talk to real people about real topics and real stories. I just want to invite you, if you love podcasts, if you love music, if you love books and love hearing from the people who create it, come check us out at Trevor Talks. Simply go to Google or Life Audio, type in Trevor Talks, and it'll pop on up. Hope you have a great day.